from the guilty pleasures.
Kylie Jenner to the foyer. I have a little surprise for you.
Some chicken!
To the thrill of the rose.
This is the tough part. Unfortunately, there's going to have to be people that go home tonight.
And the jaw-dropping scandals.
You know, I wasted everyone's money. I wasted everyone's everything, and I feel bad.
I cheated on
two in one weekend.
Welcome to Watch With Us.
Watch With Us.
An inside look into your favorite TV shows, which delivers the latest TV news that you want to know about. Here's your host,
ladies and gentlemen,
Us Weekly's Emily Longaretta.
Welcome back to the Watch With Us podcast. I am your host, Emily Longaretta, and I want to thank you so much for joining this episode. Before we get to our incredible interview, I want to start by breaking down some TV headlines because there is a lot of news that happened this week. Starting off, Brooklyn Nine-Nine's Terry Crews says that the show has scrapped its first four episodes and is starting over to reflect the current state of the world amid the Black Lives Matter movement. Meanwhile, The Bachelorette is beginning filming again, quote, very, very soon, according to lead Claire Crawley, after the show was delayed due to the coronavirus pandemic. Major League Baseball also announced that they are officially returning and kicking off their season at the end of July. Jimmy Kimmel revealed that he will be taking the summer off from hosting his late night show and will have rotating guest hosts. 30 Rock, which is currently available in syndication, at the request of Tina Fey, four episodes of 30 Rock that feature blackface have been pulled from syndication and streaming. And lastly, the Golden Globes, usually airing the first Sunday of the year, have been pushed back to February 28th, 2021. Of course, that date is up in the air at this point. There is still a possibility it could change due to everything that's happening. Our guest this week, I am very excited about, is Emmy-winning director Liz Garbus, whose HBO docuseries I'll Be Gone in the Dark premieres this Sunday. The doc is adapted from Michelle McNamara's book, which is about her hunt for the Golden State Killer and giving voices back to the victims. Michelle died unexpectedly in 2016. Her then-husband, Patton Oswalt, took over finishing the book along with the team that she was working on. In 2019, the Golden State Killer was caught. Without further ado, here is my interview with Liz Garbus. Liz, thank you so much for joining. I'm so excited to discuss this because I can tell you that I watched this in a day and am enthralled. I had a hard time sleeping, but it was incredible.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm sorry you had to watch it all in one sitting. It's a lot.
No, it's more just that it is a lot, but I think it's more that it's addicting. It's hard to kind of stop once you start. So I want to start out with just when were you first introduced to this story and to Michelle's kind of journey?
So I was first introduced when HBO sent me the manuscript. I did not, before the book was published, I was not aware of the Golden State Killer. I was not aware of Michelle McNamara and her work or True Crime Diary. So, I can blame it on the fact that I'm in the East Coast, but really I think it's, it's part of what drew Michelle to it in the first place was that it was not well known as it should have been, And so that is how I first learned about it.
Definitely. When you were kind of discussing and planning to adapt, how much of Michelle's family were you originally planning to include in this? Was it kind of what we see, or was there more or less? Like, what was your original plan
for Michelle's family?
Obviously Patton was very involved, but a lot of her other family members as well.
I mean, when you start a documentary, you have all kinds of ideas and dreams and hopes about who will talk to you or what materials you'll get. And, sometimes it doesn't all add up to that. But in this case, it really did. I mean, Michelle's family was so forthcoming and they shared so much. They love their sister, beyond words. Mm-hmm. And I think that talking about her, while it was also hard, it was also probably nice to feel that her legacy would have, another blip in the public radar, by someone adapting the book for the small screen.
Absolutely. And I can imagine, you've done so many successful and incredible documentaries, and I can imagine that each one has very specific challenges. What was your biggest challenge when you were kind of trying to put together the entire story and map out how it would go across six episodes?
Yeah, well, look, when you start, right, like you just have to kind of be an open book. You've got this wet clay and what shape will it will you put it in? And I think that for us, kind of getting patents from Patton when he shared Michelle's iPads and her video tapes that she had made and audio recordings of interviews she had done, we felt like, wow, you know, we have access to her investigation. Like, we can really make it feel like you're along on the ride with Michelle, trying to understand this case, the obsessive hard work that she did. We can, you know, make you feel like you're right next to her while she's doing it. Mm-hmm. So that was really exciting. So then the question was, how do you kind of weave together all these disparate materials into a cohesive story? The survivors themselves, you know, they were going to be key. How do they intertwine with Michelle? How do we link it all together? And that was the great challenge and joy of making the project, was figuring out those challenges.
Yeah, for sure. I don't want to give it away, obviously, for people who aren't aware of what's happening in the case, but because it's out there, I feel like we don't really need to say spoiler alert. I mean, anyone can Google this. But what, for you, when you were kind of working with the survivors and kind of stringing this all together, did you ever get emotional? How did you kind of keep yourself outside of that? Because for me, as a viewer watching, seeing that these survivors got to tell their story and everyone had such a different story was very, very emotional and very touching for me to see, and almost exciting that they are getting to tell a story and how their lives were changed by this.
Oh, well, I'm so grateful that you felt that way, because that was certainly what we were hoping to convey, was this, larger 360 degree view of their experiences.
Yeah.
I had an incredible team working with me, three amazing directors, Josh Corey, Elizabeth Wolf, Miles Kane, an incredible, production team. And they all, reached out to the various, law enforcement survivors, Michelle's friends. We did this, all together. And yes, for us, having the survivors have the space and the time to talk about their experiences, not just the worst thing that ever happened to them in their life, the worst 3 hours that anyone could imagine, but also everything else. And I think it was really important to do that. And I think Michelle led the way in that, we carried that on.
Absolutely. And I think something so interesting early on in the doc is really that it highlights how different the times were in the 70s versus now, how victims are looked at, how women are viewed. Was that something important that you wanted to highlight right away when you started hearing about this story?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the value society puts on victims so often, determines their fate in our criminal justice system. I mean, we're seeing that now with the talk about Black Lives Matter. Yeah. I made a film called Lost Girls, which was about the serial murder of sex workers. And that case is unsolved. And, obviously the Golden State Killer case went unsolved for such a long time. And, he started off, he wasn't a killer when he started off.
Right.
As far as we know, he was a rapist, a serial rapist. And, and as one of our survivors so beautifully describes, that's a soul murder. But it's dealt with as a misdemeanor in many jurisdictions. So, that certainly has so much to do with how society perceived these cases. And yes, we met really committed detectives who worked this case. But of course, the larger context, oh, this is a misdemeanor, oh, he picked the right one, she was pretty. The way in which you sort of saw the processing of these crimes was really alarming, and it became a theme we wanted to explore. And I'm not saying we're in some kind of perfect place now. Many people will not report sexual assaults because they don't think it'll be treated properly by the authorities. So we still need to be examining this and talking about it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely a movement that's still working through the issues. When obviously Patton finished the book, for anyone who didn't know that before, he finished her
with
book.
Her team that was working on it. And he was interviewed a lot throughout this. Was he involved a lot behind the scenes of the doc?
No, not in terms of, filmmaking or editing. I mean, Patton kind of handed over the keys to the kingdom and said, go ahead, explore. I think it was too raw. in the same way that, you know, he turned over finishing the book to Billy Jensen and Paul Haynes, yeah, who acquitted themselves so beautifully. It was a similar thing for him. He wanted Michelle's work to have this platform, but he didn't, you know, it was, I'm sure, just way too painful to consider doing himself.
Of course. Yeah. Are you planning on continuing to kind of follow the case, like, out of your own curiosity? Because we know the next hearing is on the 29th this month. So is that something that you're interested in listening to and kind of seeing what's next?
Yeah, of course I'm interested. You know, I feel certainly really invested in the survivors and, you know, what happens for them. So yeah, I'm definitely going to be keeping a close eye
on. For sure. Is there anything that you kind of wanted to include in the doc that you guys couldn't do, whether it was due to timing or due to, you know, unavailability? Or I know, obviously, you guys must have reached out to so many people and you've included so many people, but I'm sure there were many that didn't want to participate as well. Was there kind of any like specifics that you really wanted to zoom in on that you kind of couldn't?
Sure. I mean, there were survivors who, of course, chose to not participate. And, you know, that's always a bummer. You want everyone to talk. But I mean, I do think we had such a wonderful chorus of amazing women, mostly, and some men, talking about their experiences that we were still able to capture that experience. Mm-hmm. You know, there was one thing I wish we had been able to do, which was, you know, Michelle had, you know, her kind of origin story was that as a teenager, a neighbor was murdered in her suburban Chicago neighborhood, Kathy Lombardo. And she always wanted to know what happened with that case. And she always felt like it was within reach. And so we were like, well, maybe we can crack that case. Like, maybe we can do, you know, like for the Lombardo case, what Michelle did for the GSK. Mm-hmm. I mean, she, of course, there were many, many people working at GSK, but unfortunately we couldn't get much headway with the Oak Park police. And so I certainly wish we had been able to explore that more, but maybe there will be other armchair, you know, citizen detectives like Michelle and her circles who will take that one.
Yeah,
that would be great.
Absolutely. When did you start, what year was it that you first got the manuscript and versus when you finished? Like, how long did the project take from start to finish?
It was over 2 years, about 2 years, but I can't remember the exact.
Okay.
It was a 2-year process. Okay. Yeah. Or a little more. Probably.
So obviously, originally it was before he was caught. So how much did you kind of have to obviously reconfigure that the end was going to be this? I don't want to say happy ending, because of course it's not a happy ending, but it is giving, you know, at least someone is having justice. So how much did you kind of plan out and then kind of have to rework when that happened?
Well, you know, it was our first day shooting. We had gone to Chicago and we met Michelle's family and, you know, went to bed that night and woke up, you know, for our flights early in the morning and read on all these text messages that there was a suspect in custody. So that was crazy timing. Wow. You know, just being in Michelle's hometown and learning that and being with Patton and Billy and Paul. So it was really incredible. But you know, look, in the first 4 episodes, as you know, his name doesn't come up, right? Like, we don't, you know, the show in large part is not about him. Yeah. It's about, as like, you know, who he is or what, you know, it's really about the survivors and it's about Michelle. And it's about that obsession. And so in some sense, of course, in episodes 5 and 6, we explore how he was found. And, you know, we do have testimonials, as you know, from people who were related to him. Mm-hmm. But you're never going to understand this guy, right? Like, even when we hear about trauma that he experienced, or, you know, there are many people who experienced such trauma and didn't become this awful person, malignant person. And so in many ways, like, he's almost, you know, he's just not our focus. So it didn't, it certainly altered 5 and 6, but, you know, for the majority of the show, you know, he's not even a name we use.
Right. Which is important. I think that's incredible that it focuses so much on the people that it affected, not the person we don't need to mention. So my last question for you is kind of, what do you hope? Obviously, there's a lot that can come out of this doc. What do you kind of hope people get out of it when they watch it?
You know, I think that hopefully they're inspired by the resilience and tenacity of these survivors who, you know, as Patton says, they had this trauma. They could have become the most awful person in the world like him. But in fact, you know, they went the other direction in their lives. I think they're incredibly inspiring, as all of us have some trauma, you know, hopefully not what they went through, but you know, everybody's life has struggle in it. You know, Michelle said, it's chaos, be kind. That was a phrase she coined. And I think when you walk away and you see the kind of the struggles that these survivors had, Michelle confronting her own demons, the kind of just widespread nature of sexual assault that, like, you can't talk to five women and not have one or two of them tell you a story of their own assault. Mm-hmm. You know, and the kind of kindness and empathy and to try to talk about it, you know, to try to not give in to the shame and the stigma, because if you keep it inside and it's yours all alone, it's like a cancer. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That was a long answer.
No, that was a great answer. And Liz, thank you so much for joining. I really, really appreciate you chatting with me. And I can't wait for people to watch this. I think it's going to be quite moving for a lot of people the same way that it was for me.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
As always, we are going to wrap with a few shout outs, starting with Woman of the Week. My shout out goes to Jenny Aniston, and no, she wasn't on a new show this week, but she was part of Variety's Actors on Actors series, which I always love. She and Lisa Kudrow interviewed each other about their roles over the years and, of course, about Friends. And something Jennifer Aniston said was that, you know, she still watches the show. She can't help it that she watches it. And I really love that. I really love when stars can kind of lean into the roles that got them so famous and aren't really above it and can just really respect that. So the interview's great if anyone hasn't seen it, but she's my Woman of the Week this week. For What to Watch, Friday night, Lifetime is airing a special of Variety's Power of Women, Frontline Heroes. It is honoring those working on the front lines, nurses, doctors, construction workers, really anybody who is just working their day-to-day job and putting their lives at risk so that we can all stay home. It's really honoring them. Usually the Power of Women event kind of honors celebrities. And while there are celebrities involved in this, this really puts those working in the front lines into the spotlight. It's also going to be streaming on Facebook, and there's an easy donate button that's going to be happening during the live stream where you can donate to the Equal Justice Initiative. So that's a really important event. So that's going to air Friday night. And then for my woman to watch is Michelle McNamara. She's gone now. Of course, she has passed away now, but she shared the stories of these victims, and that story wasn't out there, and she really gave them a voice that they didn't have before. So I'll Be Gone in the Dark is on Sunday night on HBO. As always, guys, let me know what you are watching, what you are loving, what you aren't loving. You can reach out on social media at Emily Longaretta and let me know, because I always want to hear from you. What celebrities and TV stars do you want to hear from? I am going to do my best to bring that to you. As always, guys, stay safe, stay indoors, and thank you so much for joining.